Good evening. Good evening again.
Once again, good evening.
It's good to see you and be with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. When you come in here, please leave all your problems outside of the door. You can pick them up at the way out. They'll still be waiting for you. Leave all your troubles, your anxieties, your beliefs. Leave them all at the front door. Don't bring them in here. In truth, none of these things really affect you. You merely imagine in your vain imaginings that something may be wrong someplace, somewhere, somehow. And it's only the idea that the mind has of something being wrong that causes it to be wrong. For as most of you know by now, nothing is either good or bad, the thinking makes it so. Mind causes all the problems. The I thought. As you begin to work on yourself and you annihilate the mind, the I thought, the ego, where is there a problem? Where is there a fear? Where is there an anxiety? It doesn't exist. So, when I make my confession that I am choiceless, effortless, pure awareness, I am the Self, I am not speaking of Robert. I've shared this with you before, but how we forget. When you see me as Robert, as a body, I am not choiceless, pure awareness. Robert is not the Self. That's why my confession is I am choiceless, effortless awareness. I am the Self. I'm not referring to Robert. I'm referring to I am. I am includes you. When I make that confession, it is all-pervading. It is omnipresence itself. Every one of you is I am. The whole universe is I am. So whenever I said I am, choiceless, effortless, pure awareness, I am the Self. Always remember, I am not referring to Robert. I am referring to your true nature. This is the truth about you. You are not your problems or the anxieties or the fears. And there is no use in trying to remove those things from your life. You're trying in vain since you're fighting an illusion. Rather, you should think, I am. I am choiceless, effortless, pure awareness. Never think of your body at that time. Never believe that is your body. Your body has absolutely nothing to do with it. Your body, like the world, is an illusion. It just does not exist. But I am does exist. Please try to remember when I use the word I am referring to your true self, your true nature. And just by voicing this truth, it clears up the many misinterpretations that you have in your subconscious mind about who you are. It seems that no matter how many times I share this with you, you still believe that Robert is the body and you're dealing with the body. You still believe that you are your body and you're dealing with your body. But I tell you in truth that there is no body. There is no mind. There is no universe. There is only consciousness, the self. And you are that. This takes a load off your mind, doesn't it? When you come to the conclusion that you're nothing, don't you feel good? You're empty. There's nothing going on inside, and there's nothing going on outside. There's no inside and there's no outside. Some of you still believe the body is a shell. What kind of a shell? Seashell? Eggshell? There is no body. There's nobody home. Why do you want to make believe you've got a body? And then give it all the attributes of catching a cold or a disease or feeling depressed or out of sorts. As you believe you are a body, all these other things will attach themselves to you. A body suffers from birth and death and all the rest of the junk in between. Is that what you are? If that's what you really were, what would be the purpose of this? What kind of a God would create a body that becomes decrepit and dies? It doesn't make any sense if you think of it. Why would God, if you believe in God, that God created you, why would He create a being who was born as a baby, goes through all childhood diseases, has to struggle and fight its way for survival, grows up, competes in the world, fights for existence, for money, for wealth, for health, for power, for position, for name, for fame, and then drops dead? Of what value is this? Raises a family to do the same. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. But yet we're afraid to know the truth. For we do not wish to believe that we do not exist. I didn't say you do not exist. I say you do not exist as a body. But you do exist as nothing. Nothing exists. Remember, nothing simply means no thing. You are no thing that is known by your mind. your mind cannot possibly comprehend the no thing. The mind has to believe that you are a body, or it wouldn't be the mind. The mind has to believe that it is a universe, a God, a world, a body. That's all the play of the mind, or the play of consciousness. As long as you believe in this, in the play, you have to suffer. There are no two ways about it. There is no one on this earth who believes they are a body that does not suffer somehow. Do not judge by appearances. As long as you believe there is a world, you are a body, you have to suffer. One way or another. You have to suffer either mentally, physically. You go through all kinds of experiences. This is not a world of peace, as you know. You have to understand that you've been playing all these games for many, many incarnations, and you now wish to wake up. Just by reflecting on these things we're sharing with you tonight will awaken you. Just by reflecting on these truths. Realizing the truth about yourself. You were never born. No one ever gave you birth. You have always existed, but not as a body. There is absolutely nothing to fear. There is absolutely nothing to desire. There is absolutely nothing to do. It seems strange to me again that people think they are the doer, and they're always looking for something to do. They think if they don't find something to do, people will call them lazy and they do nothing. If your real nature is nothing, what can nothing possibly do? Nothing. Why do you believe you got to do something? To do something, you have to be somebody. But to do nothing, you have to be nobody. So what would you rather be, somebody or nobody? If you're somebody, you get involved in the world, in the play, in the Maya. And you go through all these experiences as somebody. You may be somebody important, or somebody of little value. You may be the President of the United States, or a homeless person, but you're still somebody. But if you realize that you're nobody, then you can sit in peace and have no desires. You don't have to wonder if you're going to go to work tomorrow or if you're going to feel good tomorrow or if you're going to find a job or get married or not get married. And nobody never thinks of these things. And somebody does. When you are a nobody, all these things will take care of themselves. They will actually take care of themselves. If you're supposed to be married and have 25 children, you won't. If you're supposed to have 25 wives and have no children, you won't. Or husbands. Or whatever you want. But it's so beautiful to realize that you are nobody. And be able to sit in the chair, and the whole universe is under your command. You are no longer a puppet being manipulated by the strings of life. You have realized the phoniness, the nonsense of everything. Everything has become nonsensical. And you just rest in peace. Usually the term rest in peace means you're dead. You are dead. You're dead to the body. It's funny how they give the right terms to the wrong situation. You actually do rest in peace. And you are dead to the body. You have no desire to go anywhere, to do anything, or to live any one place. Yet, remember also, it does not mean that you're going to stay necessarily in one place. Whatever has to happen, will happen. You may find yourself going to Japan or to Timbuktu or anywhere, but it has nothing to do with you. You are at peace. You have a quiet mind. It doesn't function. The mind has become the self. You are free. But yet to others, it appears as if you're acting. Because you appear normal, and you go through experiences like everybody else. But you realize the truth. You're doing absolutely nothing. The observer may see you working, chopping wood, drinking wine, building houses, yet you're doing nothing. This sounds strange. It sounds like a contradiction. But it's not really. When you discover you are the self, remember the self is all-pervading. Absolute reality is omnipresence. Therefore, everything is taking place within you. All the so-called actions of the universe are taking place within you because you are self-contained consciousness. That's why there's nothing you can really do as self-contained consciousness. For you occupy every space, every atom, every universe. And you permeate what appears to be creation. There's nowhere for you to go because there's no room. There's nothing else. There's no space. space is only for the body, the mind. But when you discover that you're pure awareness, there is no space. You encompass all in all. This is the reason why there's nowhere to go. And there's nothing to do. It's like you're a gigantic screen that takes up the entire universe. It is the universe. That takes up all of space. Yet forms appear on the screen. The forms appear on the screen and there's a lot of space between them. The forms appear to be going places, doing things, working, being born and dying. But you are the eternal screen. Unflinching. Immovable. Satchitananda. Parabrahman. And the whole play of consciousness is taking place on the screen. Or within yourself. There's no place for the screen to go because the way it takes up all the space there is. The only movement there is in the images on the screen. But the screen itself has no room where to go, what to do. It just is as it is. That's the way it is. Your true nature is absolute reality. The screen. There's nothing you have to do. When you understand that you're omnipresence, there's no room for karma or for sins. Or for anything else. The game is being played by the beings who are projected on the screen. They're going through karma because they have a lot of space. They can go through all kinds of things if there's space. They're going through different experiences of birth and death. Of happy and sad, of healthy and sick, of poverty and riches. The images are going through these things. Then they die and they appear to be born again in different lives, and the game continues forever. But you are consciousness, you are the screen. And you remain the same, always. There never was a time when you were different. There never will be a time when you change. Consciousness is consciousness. The self is the self. It has no manifestations. No attributes. It just is. That is your true nature. The question therefore is, what have you been thinking about yourself? What do you believe you are? And you can tell by the way you look at yourself. How you address yourself. What you imagine you are. Most people get up in the morning believing they're a body, and right away their mind is filled with their personal problems. They go through the day trying to solve problems or thinking of ways they can enjoy themselves. There's no end to it. But for the self-realized being, there's no one who sleeps. There's no one who wakes. There's no one who does anything. And there's no one who does not do anything. There is absolutely nothing going on. Now can you see the truth about yourself? The more you fear, the more you worry, the more you fret, the more you desire, the more you think you've got to make the world turn the way you want it to turn, the greater the delusion. And you pull deeper and deeper and deeper into the mire of delusion. It becomes difficult to awaken. You somehow have to grab the bull by the horns. That's not a cliche, I can't stand. Grab the bull by the horns. Who would want to grab a bull by the horns?
Who's the bull?
It's all a bunch of bull.
There you go.
But you have to catch yourself. Can you catch yourself? You've got to do something to yourself. You have to see what you've been doing all these years. How you've been thinking of yourself. What you've been thinking about yourself, what you are. This is why it is written in all of the great spiritual manuals, like auto manuals, they've got spiritual manuals, when it tells you that unless you are mature spiritually, you can never really understand this. It looks like a bunch of ludicrous sayings. I am the self, I am consciousness, I am pure awareness, I am not the body, I am not the mind. It sounds totally ludicrous to the average person. For the collective unconscious is so strong. The collective unconscious is not a name for Maya. It appears to be strong. And it pulls you in very deeply. The more you identify with it, the greater the pull. And you identify it when you feel sorry for yourself. When you believe something is wrong with you. When you have wants and needs. When you're human. You do not want to be human. Simply because a human being goes through all the nonsense of the world. A human being has to experience all of the worldly conditions that all the other human beings experience. Therefore, you don't want to be human. You want to be inhuman. You want people to tell you you're not human. When you can see that you're not human, that's when you'll begin to bloom. And you'll realize happiness you never knew before. Do not read the newspapers or listen to TV too much. or go along with all the news that's going on in the world. That's for human beings. Be yourself. You are self-contained. If you have eternal happiness, what in this world can give you something better than that? All you really have to do is to realize that you are eternal happiness. You cannot get eternal happiness from anything in this world, nor from anyone. Eternal happiness is your true nature. You are that. You do not have to acquire it, or look for it, or find it, or beg for it, or pray for it. Eternal happiness is what you really are. But that only comes when you let go of your morbidity. When you let go of all your nonsense, your fears, your foolishness, preconceived ideas, judgments. You have to empty yourself out. When you empty yourself out, you become filled with consciousness. Consciousness is like air, like the air you breathe. When you dig a hole in the ground, it's filled with air, with space. When you fill up the hole, where did the air or the space go? The space didn't go anywhere. It always existed the way it is. You can either fill it up with dirt or leave the hole as it is. And the same space always remains. So it is with consciousness. You may appear to be a person taking up space. You may appear to be a body, a being, that's roaming around the globe. But your true nature is consciousness. If the body falls away, that's like an empty hole. If you appear to have the body, that's like you fill up the hole with dirt. The space or consciousness is still there, but appears to be occupied by a body or by dirt. Remember, the body is composed of all the elements that are found in the ground. You come from dirt. You're dirty. Take a shower. You're nothing but a piece of dirt. That's your true self. A piece of dirt. As long as you believe you are the body, you are a piece of dirt. Because all of the elements of your body can be found in the earth. So you have to wake up. Why don't you do that right now? Wake up. Leave the body alone. It will take care of itself. After all, you never asked to have a body. It just appeared. The same way it appeared, in that same way it will be taken care of. Do not worry about it. And do not think that you are the doer and you have to keep doing things every day. You may appear to do things, but remember you are not the doer. You are nothing. Can you imagine yourself as nothing? Where there is no God, no universe, and no world, no people, no body, no mind. Sounds scary, doesn't it? But it's not. The reason it sounds scary to you is because you have identified with your body for such a long time. And when I say a long time, I'm speaking of many lifetimes. You are enmeshed in the belief of a body. You therefore begin to work on yourself. You practice self-inquiry if you must. You practice various sadhanas if you must. You do whatever you have to do to get rid of the notion that you are the body. You only do these things if you will not wake up when I tell you to wake up. If you refuse to awaken by still believing you are your pains and your aches and your greed and your thoughts and everything else that you think you're made out of, that means you refuse to awaken. Something within you wants to keep playing the game. Therefore, you go in the other direction and practice sadhana, spiritual practices, to weaken the mind, to weaken the thought that I am the body, to weaken the ego. By realizing that I, the I you've been calling yourself all these years, is only a thought. It is the I thought. And the I thought has to have a source. It cannot appear by itself. You therefore follow the I thought to its source by inquiring, to whom does this come? Or who am I? Or what is the source of this I? You never answer that question. You simply inquire. As you continue practicing this method, the day will come when you will finally go deep, deep within, deeper than you've ever gone before, and your body will just disappear. Yet to everyone else in the world, they will see you as a body. But you will be totally free and happy. No thoughts, no fears, no preconceived ideas, everything will be wiped out. You have to vehemently make up your mind what you're going to do with your life that you've got left in this phase of existence. What are you really going to do with your life for the rest of your days on this earth? Is it worthwhile striving for things? Trying to make yourself happy in the material world? When you're beginning to realize that the relative world doesn't even exist? Go after the things that count. That is, go deep, deep within yourself. Dive deeper than you've ever done before. Make up your mind that this is it. Strive after truth. It will come effortlessly. And sooner than you know it, you will awaken and become free. Please feel free to ask questions.
Somebody gave me a tape of a talk by Mystic Ignatian, the editor of the Mountain Path, and grandnephew of Maharshi. He was here this fall. And in it, he has a number of fascinating anecdotes. He said that oftentimes Maharshi would say, there are no yanis, there is only yanam. And also, there are no realized souls. There's only realization. People put things in a nutshell.
This is true. And that's what I was talking about tonight. There's no individual realizer. There's just realization, just the self. The self is all pervading. It is not myself or your soul. It is the self, omnipresence. So that's true what you're saying. How has that helped you?
I have a pretty I think I have an intellectual understanding, but I haven't gone over it. Or at least I'm not conscious of it. No doubt the actuality. But it will be, it won't be in the mind in any case. There is the threat about it.
Right. Just be yourself. You're doing well.
Thanks.
Yes, I met him a couple of times. He's a very nice chap.
Just the talk is just
alike. Excuse me?
His talk is just alike.
It was
San Diego.
Yes. You can't catch your tongue. That's another one of those cliches. I always come up with these crazy cliches. The cat's got your tongue.
And we have the expression that when somebody dies, he gives up the ghost. But actually, it's the other way around. Is that not so?
That's so, yes.
Yeah, so.
The ghost goes up the body.
Sure. The Bible says you don't have to pay 100% attention. The Holy Ghost, because that's where it's at.
That's what it says in the Bible?
That's your interpretation.
That's a new one.
What Bible have you been reading, sir?
The Bible according to Fred.
It's there somewhere.
Sounds good anyway. Have you ever seen a Holy Ghost?
If I saw him, it would be a mental concept, and therefore I'm real.
No more questions, eh? What can this mean?
We're speechless.
Finally reduced us all to silence.
Where are all your questions in the papers?
Search me.
You save them for Sunday. Put in the collection basket.
No, but I read something years ago. I read something years ago about, in some of the books I have read, where it said something about you're part of a greater being, which is part of a greater being, and that's part of a greater being. That doesn't apply to anything related to Nihilism.
It depends what part you want to be.
Yeah.
That was redundant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I didn't read too many books.
Nowhere.
I suppose they're referring to the fact that everything comes from God. Mm-hmm. So everything is above everything else. Mm-hmm. On the human level.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is many years ago I read it, but it kind of stuck in my head, and I often thought about it once in a while.
Give your head a jerk.
What?
Jerk your head.
Yeah.
Off with the head.
Off the head, yes, definitely. Or you wanted questions, I thought I'd throw that in.
Several sessions ago, somebody asked you if Christ was an avatar. And you said, ask him. And I think it hurt the guy's feelings. But
was it you?
No, it was another guy. I think I have it straight. See, what you meant was that each of us has to decide for ourselves whether he's an avatar or not. Go on outside authority, even yours.
Oh, of course.
If I thought I had it right, I mean, intellectually.
You know, there's a group, they have some process, and they call the people who go through the process avatars. So there's probably about 125 avatars running around here. Actually, an organization like that.
You mean they initiate you as an avatar?
Yeah, I think that used to be in Scientology, and then it dropped out, and you had some experiences, and then it runs people through the processes, and I think you're an avatar. The only thing, it seems to me, they got more egos than before.
Do you get a certificate?
Probably.
The avatar.
Cost $2,000.
That's about it. It's funny. When I read these stories in that magazine, they have, and after every story is I this, I that, I other. This would be more I than before.
Is it preordained when one awakens, Robert?
Everything is preordained.
What was the question, I'm sorry?
I said, is it preordained when one awakens?
Mm. Yeah, it appears sometimes if it's not. We have to appear to make the effort. And even making the effort is preordained. We have to go through that kind of a routine.
So that's why you say everything is unfolding as it should?
Yes.
These routines we go through are preordained?
Yes. Everything was planned before you came into your so-called body. But when you realize you are not the body, it all becomes redundant.
What do you mean redundant?
I mean it's unnecessary. Nobody was ever preordained. Nothing was ever preordained. Because after all, who made that law? Who said everything is going to be preordained? And the answer to that is God. And God only exists because you believe you are the body. Therefore, when you realize that you are not the body, it all becomes redundant.
So preordination is only relative to...
Yes.
And your illusion of being a separate
being. So is reincarnation, yes. It's all because you believe you are a body. See what you didn't see yourself? Why do you want to hurt yourself like that? And go through all these things you're going through. Reincarnation, karma, God punishing you. All the things you do to yourself.
Why does that occur at all?
You should know better.
You know the answer to that. Why does water occur in the mirage?
I don't know.
It doesn't.
It appears to.
It appears to when you investigate, it's not there.
Yeah.
So when you investigate yourself, you will find you do not exist as the body.
Okay.
And therefore nothing else exists. So it does not occur.
The whole thing is a non-occurrence.
Exactly.
Oh, that settles that, doesn't it?
It's not even there to even begin to be an occurrence.
No. Summary wiping out of the universe. Do you think of this?
question.
He just wags his tail.
Robert, where did those sounds come from a little while ago?
What sounds?
A single tone. Twice I heard it early, and then evening, and now just about 5 minutes ago. And everybody knew that sound?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Everybody heard it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kitchen.
Huh?
The kitchen.
Ghost, the Holy Ghost.
There's an answer.
But Phineas.
It's an answer. Yeah, but yes, I think that it's an
answer. I thought it was an answer.
Sounds, lights, visions, they're all the same. They don't have to do with your body. Well, let's see.
There we go.
Boy, this looks good.
There's a couple of clouds behind you.